Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus died for you and I for our sins. Jesus died for God regarding the validity of the Word of God. In other words, Jesus in dying empowered God's promises.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What do you say when a friend says their marriage might end? Or how do you help a coworker dealing with depression? Do you have the right words when your child opens up about school stress or family issues or something else? The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide by June Hunt. It's your go-to resource when real-life problems demand some real answers. Now, it's an easy-to-read book, and it's simple to find answers that are from the Bible for every situation. With more than 580 topics and over 11,000 scripture references, you'll find what God's Word says about pretty much anything from anxiety and anger to loneliness, death, and a whole lot more. Now, this isn't a book that you're going to pick up and read cover to cover, but it is one that you'll reach for in a moment of need. And it's our thank you gift for your donation of any size to Real Life this month. And if you'd like to order your copy, and we hope you will, just visit jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Order your copy right away. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 2. A parable is a sort of picture story painted by Jesus that makes the truth absolutely crystal clear. And in this parable, we're taking a unique approach to its message by taking the time to lay its foundation. Now, as we learned in part one, this parable is a comparison of the natural sequence of a tree blooming in the summer to the surety of the prophetic event of Jesus when he returns. Now, with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus is announcing. Look with me, verse 36. But of that day and of that hour, Matthew 24, but of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, listen, everybody, but as the days of Noah were, you ought to underline that. Jesus is saying, what I'm about to tell you is like the days of Noah. So before we go any further, don't answer out loud. Just think, what comes to your mind in the days of Noah? Just answer yourself. What comes to your mind regarding the days of Noah? So you write that in your notes. Jesus says, they were eating and drinking. Imagine Noah building the ark. For how long? Anybody remember? 120 years. Imagine that. Hey, Noah, how's it going there with your big model thing there? 120 years people walked by. Can you imagine? Have you forgotten that? They walked by. Noah, we think you're nuts, but it's very entertaining. It's fantastic to watch this. Can you imagine? 120 years. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years while building the ark. Did you know that? What was he doing? You guys ought to think about what I'm doing up here. It's going to rain someday. What? This water's going to come from the sky. You're nuts! Because the Bible says up until then, water came up from the earth and watered the ground by dew. It rained upside down. Still does that today, right? The dew comes up and waters the ground. Isn't that amazing? God's amazing. And you know, someday it's going to rain. Oh, you're nuts. Imagine that. In other words, Jesus is saying, they were eating and drinking. They didn't heed the warnings. Look, Noah must have had a massive driveway because this is where he built that boat. You know those people have massive RVs in your neighborhood that park in their driveway and it takes up the whole neighborhood? Imagine this guy. Oh, there's that Noah again. Imagine every sound of that hammer. Oh, that's that nut. Believes in God. He's so intolerant. and rude with that hammer. On Saturday morning, you can hear it just pounding away. We have to get up and hear that. So Jesus says they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What does that mean? It means that they thought life was just going to go on uninterrupted. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know it until the flood came. Remember Noah goes into the ark? This is a toughie. This is the time, I would start sweating at this point as Noah goes into the ark. The Bible tells us, which is awesome. Noah walked, God says, go, it's time to go in. So he goes in, and the Bible says, and then God shut the door on the ark. Can you imagine? Can you imagine he's getting there? Hey, boys, Shem, Ham, Japheth, go over here. We got to figure out how to shut this. Never mind. God shut the door himself. And then remember what happened? Can you imagine? They're in there. All right, door shut. It's not raining. I just could have swore God said it. Can you imagine Mrs. Noah going? Can you imagine? People must have been laughing on the outside. The Bible tells us they were extremely wicked too. Remember that? They were given over to all kinds of wickedness. Mockery, laughing. Can you imagine the muffled voices? Noah, you big loser. And then clouds begin to form. Things begin, the earth begins to shake because God's preparing to break open the fountains of the deep, underground rivers. Did you know that? Still to this day. Now, here's something I want to ask you, skeptic, too. In Genesis, before we had any ground-penetrating radar in the technology to know what we know now, the Bible says that there are rivers flowing under the ground. The Bible says that before we ever discovered rivers flowing under the ground. Underground. And God says, I'm going to take those rivers that flow under the ground, I'm going to break open the earth, and the water's going to come out. I'm going to send clouds overhead, and the rain's going to come down. I'm going to baptize the earth from this wickedness. Now listen, everybody, this is critical. I tell you what, I'm not joking right now. If you get what's coming up here right now, you'll be smarter than most seminary students when it comes to eschatology, the study of God's prophetic futuristic word, okay? So that's, get your pen ready. Verse 39, and they did not know it until the flood came and took them all, what? Away. In your margins, verse 39, just write down the word judgment. Judgment. Question, who was taken away? All the people outside the ark. With me? Okay. So also, two key words. So also, what's coming in the future is like. Will the coming of the Son of Man be? Then, two, your Bible should have the word men in italics. Why? You know. Now you know. It's not found in the original language. Two will be in the field, one taken and the other left. Stop right there. When the flood came and people were taken away, you understand? You get that? They were swept away. Jesus, listen, is saying, whoever is taken away, it's taken away to judgment. Don't let anyone deceive you regarding this passage because the context of the lesson determines the interpretation of the passages in the context. Are you with me? If you apply that law of Bible reading and understanding, you'll never be led astray by someone knocking on your door because they don't do that. Say, well, my friends told me this is a rapture verse. It's anything but a rapture verse. Because those taken away are taken away in judgment. Watch this. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. That's awesome. If there's a robber in your neighborhood, are you going to go to sleep that night or are you going to have your shotgun? Verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is a verse concerning the second coming of Christ and the establishment of his kingdom. Those that will be deceived will be swept away in judgment. We don't have the time tonight to get into this not rapture verse. But ladies and gentlemen, people will tell you, oh, there's no rapture. There's no rapture. You see, look right here. At the end of the tribulation, that's when there's this thing. You'll pop up into the atmosphere and then you'll come right back down. It'd be like, I don't know, something that pops up in the air and comes back down. You don't go anywhere. Oh, well, then cut John 14 right out of your Bible then. And then cut 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 right out of your Bible. Just cut it on out. No. And they use this verse to rob you of your hope and your joy and the promise of his coming. You see this? This is serious business. This is good stuff, though, because this will help you be ready.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Jesus sets for us in the context. He lets the Bible speak to us. I did not plan on this going to three parts, but can we, I've got a few moments left. Look at Matthew 24:15, and this is where we'll get into it next time. This should blow your mind next time. Jesus gives us an awesome clue. Matthew 24:15, therefore, circle the word therefore. It's important. Whenever you see the word therefore, it's extremely important. When you see, so there's a generation coming. They will see the what? Abomination of desolation. You're not Jewish, but if you're Jewish, that just got your attention. What? We know about this. This is, we're an absolute, we've been devastated by this in the past, and we fear that it will happen again in the future. This abomination of desolation. Most recently, the Romans did this to us. Before that, Antiochus Epiphanes did this to us. He'd offered up a pig on the altar and took its blood and urine and sprinkled it all over the Jewish artifacts in the temple. A Jew's skin crawls at this abomination of desolation. Why? Because it's right out of Daniel chapter 9 about the things to be prepared for in the last days. And we'll get into that next time together. You might say, well, what does this have to do with us? It has this to do with us. This stuff, number one, gives you a greater appreciation for the accuracy and the exactness of the Bible. Number two, when the same God who says, for example, these things will happen, he's the same God who says, if you'll trust me, I'll forgive you of your sins. He's the same God. You understand what he's announcing to us? He goes, I can be trusted. I not only have time and eternity in my hands, I'd love to have your eternal destiny in my hands. My son died on the cross for you exactly how the prophets said he would. And he rose again from the dead, guaranteeing you that he's got the power to fulfill and execute the plan that he empowered by his death on the cross. You know this. Don't raise your hand. I don't embarrass anybody, but do you have a will tonight or a living trust or something? Why? By the way, it's called the last will and
testament.
Do you have one of those things? Why? Because I could die. Yeah? Good. And? Well, I want things taken care of for my family that's still living. Yeah, good. But did you know? Where is it right now? Is it like in your safe deposit box? Is it at your attorney's office? Where is it at? It's in safekeeping because it's so important. Good. But did you know? It's completely, right now, if you can hear me, worthless. What? I just paid $2,000. No, I'm glad you did that. It's worthless. Right now, worthless. Just a piece of paper taking up space until you die. What happens when you die? The moment you die, that worthless little document becomes your voice after you're dead. It's all powerful. It's so powerful, it can even hold the state of California or the federal government off. Did you know that? You can write stuff in there that holds them off from their pillaging. Seriously. It is so powerful. It's so powerful. It's got more power than if you were alive. It's so powerful because it's been empowered by your death. And then it bursts out into authority. Jesus says all that he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Jesus says, you come, I will never refuse you. Jesus says, I am the living water. If a man drinks of me, he'll never thirst again. Jesus says, listen, I lay down my body in death, and on the third day I'll raise it up. So watch this. Everything he said, honestly, is worthless until he dies. What? This is so cool. He dies and authenticates the word of God. But that's not enough. Because listen, theologically, Jesus not only died for you, Jesus died for God. What? Jesus died for you and I for our sins. Jesus died for God regarding the validity of the word of God. In other words, Jesus in dying empowered God's promises. So watch this. Then he is resurrected from the dead. Why? Because the Bible says he's the advocate for the testament. So what does that mean? Listen, he's Jewish. He doesn't use an attorney. He says, I got this one. I said the words. I paid on the cross to cover it. I died to empower it. And then I rose again from the dead to make sure it gets handled right and nobody messes with it. Amen. He's your advocate. And tonight he says to you, you trust me, I'll take you all the way through. You got that? That's your God. That is the power of your God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your truth. And Father, we pray tonight that there'll be a heart here, possibly here or watching online right now, someone listening at some later date to this message, and they'll say, you know, I want him. I want this truth that was just shouted from that pulpit of wood, that this eternal God died on the cross for me, for my sins, that he'll forgive me and change my life, and I give my heart to him, my sin, my rebellion, my lust, my anger, my jealousies, why I give it to him. He'll forgive me and change my life and make me a new person. Yes, he will. And I'm asking you to make that decision tonight, right where you're at, will you say to him right now, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. I believe you died on the cross, as I heard tonight, and rose again from the grave, and I put my trust in the living God. Jesus, I believe in you. Tell him. Right where you're at, tell him. And he's promised to come into your heart, into your life, in this moment, and change you from the inside out forevermore. Father, we thank you for your truth. How exciting it is, Father, to realize that you keep your word. And when you say you're merciful, you are merciful. And when you say, Lord, you are holy, you are holy. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 2. We're so glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering right here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
I sat right beside June Hunt at the in Dallas at the CBN convention for the last dinner. It was pretty cool.
She's awesome. And
she's sweet, but you'd never know. I mean, when we were sitting there talking, I thought, this lady is so sweet. She's probably with someone who's, you know, prominent in our...
Oh, yeah, she is.
She's
with Jesus.
She's with Jesus.
All the time.
And she is too, man.
June Hunt walks with the Lord.
I was so impressed with her.
She is a wonderful woman of God. We've got a book that we could not endorse enough. Yeah. And it's not only because we love June Hunt, but this is a book that literally has over 11,000 biblical references in it. It's the Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. Davey, this is amazing because, look, we all need this book because why? It references and answers 580 real-life topics.
Yeah.
Issues of life.
And it's been said it's not a book that you'd read from cover to cover.
True.
Right? She covers all kinds of topics like anxiety, anger, forgiveness, you know?
Well, look, in fact, I'll do a book roulette, which is not a good thing to do. But with this book, you can do it.
Good, yeah.
So I'm flipping through the book. I'm going to stop and I'm going to open it up.
What do you got?
And here is a string of verses on complaining and grumbling.
No kidding.
So the Lord must have had us open it up. For producer Johnny. Just kidding. But you guys, this book, it's that wonderful. Here's another one, grief. And I'm looking, I don't know how many verses here on what does the Bible say about grieving? We all need to know this.
Yeah.
Please get this book. If I had the money, I'd buy it and give it to all of you. The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide, 580 real life topics, 11,000 verses. June Hunt, I mean, it's just over the top.
You know, she really seems like a person that just leans on the Word of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every once in a while you meet somebody, you go, wow, this person knows the Word of God.
I tell you what, and I hope she's not listening to this broadcast right now because she'll be embarrassed. But when I've been around June Hunt, I have the deep sense that I'm in the presence of someone who really knows the Lord in a very intimate way, very personal way. This woman walks, speaks, and ministers in the grace of God. She's a wonderful saint, and we just thank the world of her. And you guys, all that wisdom and guidance coming from the Bible and organized by June Hunt.
It's kind of a tool that you turn to when, you know, life hits with hard questions and stuff. And you know, when a counseling situation comes up, it's great to have.
Well, and you mentioned the word counseling, as is the title of the book, The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. What I would like to do is encourage everybody, because, you know, people will hear the word counseling and they'll think either A, they don't need it, or B, they don't know how to give it. Mm. How about this? This book will equip you to give out biblical guidance to those who ask, and for yourself. And, you know, and June Hunt, again, we've talked about how precious she is, but she's the founder of the wonderful ministry Hope for the Heart. And she's, I tell you what, she's a treasure in the church today, and we're grateful to God for her.
The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide by June Hunt is our thank you gift for your donation of any size to Real Life this month. And if you'd like to order your copy, and we hope you will, just visit jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.